The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
And we're back here on Analyze This. Some programming notes for tonight on Channel 12. We got the News Hour, the PBS News Hour at 7 p.m. You're going to hear everything about the first day of jury selection for the trial in New York, the hush money trial, the falsifying of business records trial for Donald Trump in the state of New York. And then at 8 p.m., comes with the territory with the great Leslie Comision. Running things and holding things down. And then from 9 to 10, Antiques Roadshow. Discover finds at the North Carolina Museum of Art in Raleigh. Okay, that's from 9 to 10. And then at 10 p.m., We Are Tuvalu, right? Follow along as filmmakers set out to share their personal insight into how climate change is threatening their homeland. That's from 10 to 11. And then I'm important company from 11 to 12 because, you know, time turned forward again. You know what I'm saying? Before that, that's where I always been. But between November and March, it'll be at midnight because time turned back. So the News Hour at 7, comes to the territory at 8, Antiques Roadshow at 9, We Are Tuvalu at 10, and I'm important company at 11. We doing a mano mano this morning. Me and the handle out of St. Thomas, the capital, the one only Donald Ducks Cole served 3 terms in the legislature. The 23rd, 24th, and the 30th legislature. Good morning, Mr. Majority Leader. Glad to have you on.
Good morning, Mr. President, President of the legislature.
You had a run. I had a good run in the 31st.
You had a good run. Majority Leader going up against.
Well, I was Majority Leader twice and a president once, so I can't complain. You know what I mean?
I know. So you had a great stay, man.
Yeah, man. I had a good run. I learned a lot, and I appreciated people at St. Croix who looked out for me, just like the people in St. Thomas and St. John took care of you.
And I give them thanks all the time.
Yeah, man.
For that awesome honor to represent them.
Without a doubt. Now, the person that sent that forward and out of place text, he said, tell him it's a young man who he gave advice to years, with a lot of S on it, years ago, and told him whatever he do, always return people phone calls. And to this day, if it's the last thing I do at night, is return people phone calls. So you know who that be?
I know the players, you know. I know the people, them. I know how they are. And Somewhere along the line, I believe we have a blood relationship out of Nevis.
He said, "So wait, you say you're not a player. So wait, you who you be? You is Ralph? You is Ralph that know the corner where the fella pass that could make a suit?"
No,
you is Ralph. You say
you went there, right? We had a show. They had a show over here Saturday.
Yeah,
and you missed that show, Neville.
because remember now, Willie Outrageous said that he knew a tailor comes to making suit. The man is a master, right?
Yeah.
And King Liar said, my man is the best. Ralph is his name. Cutting cloth, making suit is his game, right? And in the end, he said, don't show him the man. My tailor is class. Just show him the corner where the fella pass. And he could make a suit. That is Taylor. You hear lying? King Liar. You check? So when you say you know the players, I want to know if you is Ralph who could just see the corner where these people pass and you can figure them out. You check?
Listen, I know the players.
No, I just want the public to know. I'm giving him a way out to the public. That is Commissioner Calvert White.
Yes.
Son of 6 of 1, half a dozen of the other. And he was my co-host at OL2 and Location 2 up there at Kramer's Park on Holy Thursday. And he is having some fun here with Donald Ducks Cole. But he did give him his props where he said Ducks Cole told him, whatever you do, return people phone call. And
that is a key I learned in. Ruby Rose is the one who told me that.
Mm-hmm. No. The great Ruby Rose. Ain't just Ruby Rose like it is. The great.
Yeah, the great Ruby Margaret.
Margaret. R-M-R. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So
gave me that advice. Yeah. I said, They serve the people.
Yes, without a doubt.
Just give them a call back. You never know.
You never know. Quickly, before we do the politics, they were expecting a Sinner versus Djokovic final in Monte Carlo, but Tsitsipas and Ruud had different. They didn't get the memo. Let me put it that way.
Well, I tell you, I like Tsitsipas. You know, I like Tsitsipas.
Me too. I like it too. I like it because he's the one hand backhand man. Man, you got to hold on to them.
Backhand, yeah. Coming down the line like Federer, backhand, that Federer.
Yeah.
I love Tsitsipas.
But look, he was dominant because he beat Zverev in the quarterfinals, you know, and then from there, right? He got lucky, you know. They made a mistake with your boy against your boy Sinner. They miss a call on a double break, right?
Right.
And that flipped momentum, and Sinner never recovered from that. You know what I'm saying?
That sometimes you need that kind of call to propel you beyond the great ones.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And he took full advantage of it. And the rest is history. He now has won a Masters 1000, having won the Monte Carlo. And we were talking about Mark Cuban. Mark Cuban could get the money he wants. Real money there, Monte Carlo, my boy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Monte Carlo is a beast.
Yeah, man. Yeah, they make you spin with the amount of money they got in Monte Carlo. So let's shift the discussion. So Saturday, I'm surfing the net, and I say Iran is launching missiles at Israel. So I was like, oh my gosh, and everybody panicking now. Oh gosh, World War III, all that stuff, right? But we found out that the Iron Dome Duck School really is a valuable thing, right? And it goes, for those of you with the Iron Dome, it really is a missile interceptor system they have in place, right? Because, of course, you know, Israel is like out on an island because they're surrounded by Arab countries out there, right? Now, Ducks, let's talk about war and peace, right?
There will be no peace. Go ahead.
You ain't lying about that, right? But here's the deal. Here's the deal. You would think, as civilized people, compared to back in the days of Genghis Khan and all that stuff, where everything was about pulling out my sword and we got to kill, right? That as we become more civilized, we would want less war and more peace. But as a result of that, and it's all about money, you know, Duck School, and power.
Well, you know that, Neville, that's what I was going to tell.
I know that. But great minds, right? Because money is synonymous with power, right? And unfortunately, we're living in a time now where everybody is, you know, grasping for how powerful they can be, right? So you hear this and you're saying to myself, okay, we'll see what's going on here. And then we got great news that the Iron Dome, right, actually worked. That's number one. But more importantly, Jordan apparently told the world, anything over our airspace, we're going to shoot them down, right? Which looks like it annoyed some of the Arab folks. Because their thinking is, well, if Iran is an Arab country and they're sending missiles after the Zionist nation Israel, why are you getting involved? And Jordan is literally saying, well, anything over my airspace, I got a responsibility to protect my people, because suppose something malfunction, right?
True.
And so I gonna take it out. And we are hearing 99%. Now, I gonna be honest with you. You don't know how to trust the media, Duck School, right? But if they sent out 300 or 500, whatever that number is, right, missiles from Iran headed towards Israel, and you're telling me that they took out 99 out of every 100 missiles, that is a remarkable feat, Duck School, my son. That's numerically when you think about that. So we're hearing now that the U.S., actually coordinated with Jordan, and there was one other country, I got to look it up, right, to take out these missiles. And the first thing that came to my mind is the Patriot missiles that saved the day in Desert Storm, which was, yeah. and you know how old we know Doug School, 33 years ago. Wow. Yeah. Right? And my mind always ran on Jimmy Carter, right? Because, you know, we talk about it, right? Where they said Carter was the worst president, he was not good, he was weak, all that stuff. But the Patriot missile is a late 70s, right? Creation and evolution that came in handy 15 years later out there in the desert, man. So, you know, that's why we promote education on this show, Doug School, because with education come the ability for creation, invention, things that could be defense mechanisms that could save us from each other, right? Remember we were saying in the legislature, right? Sometimes we don't go pass bills to protect the people from themselves.
Yes.
This is another classic example here, Doug School. What's your take on that?
The war mechanisms of the world, everybody knows what everybody is doing.
Correct.
Everybody have the intel. I heard President Biden saying the attack on Israel is imminent from Iran, and it's going to come about this time. But they have all the intel. They can see when you're moving missiles. They can see everything that you're doing can be seen. That is why all these satellites are circling above the atmosphere. I didn't know everything, okay? But war is going to continue, Neville, because a war economy versus a peacetime economy is different. War is manufacturing. The problem I have with war, Neville, is the killing of innocent people.
Yeah, man.
The killing of innocent people who have all they want to do is live their life. But the power brokers on the top continues to hold power, and power holds have no boundaries, Neville. Power have no boundaries. When you have power, you think you could do anything you want. And what has happened, Oppenheimer, Neville, the fellow that lived in St. John and left the beach up there for us, and Commissioner White knows about Oppenheimer Beach because he's a commissioner over Park and Recreation and Oppenheimer Beach up there. That atomic bomb that he developed became the bargaining unit in war.
Bargaining chip.
In war, right? And Iran send the missile. Iran know the missile they're gonna get licked down.
But I was just reading the ability, right? The ability to identify them, and they could get picked off from anywhere from 4 to 70 kilometers, which is 2.5 to 43 miles away, right? And the way the system set up, they got radar to identify it. You know what I'm saying? And then from there, the science to kick in. You check? It is wild, man.
Listen, some of these missiles give off a heat, right?
Yeah.
And they have a mechanism to detect the heat, and they can tell you what kind of missile it is based on the heat that comes off of the missile. And that is how they identify them. Okay? But what I was saying is that when Iran knew that they were going to get licked down, Iran was telling them, I'm sending you a message, and I'm telling you, the next time you are not going to be able to take these missiles down, because I ain't sending those drones. I'm sending these guys that are faster, and they're coming at you, and they might have a nuclear warhead on them.
We got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. Neville and Doug School.
Good morning,
sir. We wanted to address the Iran situation, because, you see, we have to go back into the history, you know. During President Obama's time, him gave nearly estimatedly, and may use the word estimated, because, you know, Neville, watch things closely. Nearly $150 billion released some assets to them, gave Iran a lifeline. Iran's economy was crushing, and Obama allowed it through the nuclear deal he negotiated to be able to release these funds to Iran, knowing that Iran hate America and have Israel as a number one enemy, and them fund Hamas. them fun terrorists who are trying to kill American soldiers. So now when we are seeing all of this happening, we want to know how Iran have the capabilities, how they have the money to do all of this. We now know, and we see how many of the generals them in that era warned the president to don't release such assets and money back to Iran. Plane loads of cash went straight over to Iran and all. But me, I say, though, you know, this is the problem. Iran is a problem to our country and our allies. And if Obama didn't release that money, Iran's economy would have been crippled. It was nearly to the knees. And we released that money. Now we see war, and they must send missiles to Iran. But one thing we disagree, even if Iran sent a message, the message will not be heard because Israel and America will disseminate them if they ever come up and talk for them and destroy Israel.
Okay, so we just spoke about one of the greatest presidents in American history. His name is Carter. You remember what happened with Carter over there with the Shah of Iran? You remember that? You remember that time in history?
I don't remember it too in depth because it was before my time.
You remember the Iran Contra affair with Colonel Knott? You remember that with the Republicans' great president Ronald Reagan and selling missiles? You remember that?
Yes, I remember it vaguely. Yes.
Okay, you remember that. So now you're going to pick out President Obama because President Obama gave back the money that belonged to them. That's their money, you know. That money belonged to Iran, and I ain't here supporting Iran and going on Iran, but Iran is an independent nation that have a right to protect it, just like Israel, just like America, just like Russia, just like China. And what have been come across the press is that Israel fired some bombs and killed some Iranians, and Israel is wiping out Hamas and the people in over there because they came in and they killed some Israelis. So the continued back and forth and back and forth, you can't come out and say Obama did this. You have to take the history and go back and way back to the Shah of Iran. And I let my brother Neville, you come in.
No, partner, after he said good morning, he couldn't even have a nice long greeting. He just went right in. He wanted to choke Obama. Anybody who's a Democrat, he wanted to choke them. So I just leave his stay because while he was talking, I pull up the story right here, so man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I know you want me to come in
for dog sauce. Right.
That's why we do it on the floor of the legislature. You set the table and now come in.
Yeah, you come in. So check this out, right? It just so happened that his call timed perfectly now that we're going to a break. So I now have an additional 2+ minutes to find more information. So I hope you're ready to respond when I come with the real information about what happened with respect to Obama. Since you don't want to go after Biden now, you want to go after Obama ducks. Right? You want to go back to Obama from 2016. So we're going to have some fun with that when we come back from this break right after
this. All right, Carla, hold tight.
Yeah.
Bank of St. Croix has something for everyone. With 2 locations, the Bank of St. Croix provides personal and business checking accounts, online banking, and mobile apps for banking on the go, a nonprofit community investment checking account, and a 24-hour banking cash management platform. Bank of St. Croix, Gallows Bay, Bank of St. Croix, Peters Rest, and online, bankofstcroix.com. For details about our nonprofit community investment checking account, our service specialists are ready to help. Bank of St. Croix, member FDIC.
Music can be an incredibly personal experience. A song can inspire you, it can comfort you, it can make you feel understood, it can even take you back to a specific moment in your life. And it all begins with the artist. Join me, Raina Duras, as I get personal through in-depth interviews with your favorite musicians and find out where those songs come from on World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
I'm Aisha Roscoe, host of Weekend Edition Sunday, where we're not just interested in what's going on in the world, but why it's happening and how. Details are important. So are different points of view. We're dedicated to bringing you the stories behind the big events and the small ones, too. Join us every Sunday morning for Weekend Edition from NPR News.
Weekend Edition, Sundays at 9 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Hi, I'm Peter Sagal. You spent the week listening to the news. Don't you think you deserve to show off what you've learned on Wait, we give you a chance to impress your friends with your knowledge of international incidents, political gaffes, and the latest advancement in German nudists. You'll be the life of the party or the death. Either way, you'll make an impression and you can thank Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Saturdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. right here on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
And we're back here on Analyze This, the Table Talk. Donald Doug Skoll running solo, riding shotgun with me this morning. Thank you, Doug Skoll. Right, I appreciate that. And we got the caller. We got Mr. Trump supporter here on Analyze This. Good morning, caller. Glad you're calling this morning.
Good morning, man. Good morning.
So I want the public to know that, yes, you are correct. Right? You said $400 million cash. Right? That's what you said, right?
I said estimated $150 billion.
No, but it ain't $150 billion. That's the first thing. You're wrong with that. Okay, you're wrong with
that. Well, my Newsweek.
I say you're wrong with that, man. You're wrong with that. I going to give you the information now. Right, Docs, you ready?
I wait and I turn it over.
Okay, good. The caller called in and he said $150 billion, right? But that wasn't the case, right? It was $400 million. Right, that was paid in January of 2016, right? President Obama, Barack Obama, approved the $400 million transfer, which he had announced in January as part of the Iran nuclear deal. The money was flown into Iran, listen to this, on wooden pallets stacked with Swiss francs, euros, and other currencies as the first installment of a $1.7 billion settlement resolving claims at an international tribunal at The Hague over a failed arms deal under the time of the Shah. Okay?
Right.
Now, the Shah... So you were right, man. That's why people listen to this show. You know what I'm saying? Because we in the business of telling people the facts and the truth.
Yeah.
And the Shah is about the 70s. Right? And this was done in January of 2016, right? That was 35, 40 years later. But here's the most important part. I want the public to read this, yeah, right? And this is CNN. This is a 2016 CNN article. The $400 million was Iran's to start with.
Yeah.
Placed into a U.S.-based trust fund to support American military equipment purchases in the 1970s.
Yep.
When the Shah was ousted by a 1979 popular uprising that led to the creation of the Islamic Republic, the U.S. froze the trust fund Iran had been fighting for a return of the funds through international courts since 1981. In announcing the agreement, Obama said that paying the $400 million plus $1.3 billion in interest was saving American taxpayers billions of dollars. The Iranians had been seeking more than $10 billion at arbitration. So, Carla, I know that we're in political mode and all that stuff, right? And we're taking shots and all that. But at the very least, try your best to not be a mouthpiece for your people, them, and come with some facts. Because this is Analyze This. And this,
okay,
is what this is what we do on this show, my brother. Right?
Mr. Neville, now may I respond?
Yeah.
Newsweek article.
Yeah.
Okay? May I go after facts? Just like you have facts.
Yeah.
Me have my own facts, you know?
Yeah.
Newsweek article, let me just read one paragraph, picking up.
Yeah.
The former Iranian official said that there was $29 billion of unlockable assets
selling foreign exchange down to the bank and $6 billion of the Tehran government money. So let me give you one little article. So let me ask your source.
The echo ain't good.
You're gonna echo. So turn down your radio. Your echo bouncing. Turn down your radio.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yeah.
What may I say is that you have your source. By the way,
there's no need for you to be combative. We're having a conversation here.
No. It's no disrespect. Don't get me wrong.
Myself, Docs, everybody, we tend to get emotional, but on Analyze This, we could have a nice civil conversation. So go right ahead.
Never, just like you have your source, you know.
Yeah.
I have my source. Yeah. Newsweek article is my source.
Mm-hmm.
And all I do is read what my source has said.
Yeah.
And pick up off of my source. So my source say it costs to $150 billion.
Well, let me respond to that. At the same time, the White House unfroze a larger pool of Iranian assets, estimated at $100 to $150 billion. As part of the nuclear deal, though administration officials cautioned that Iran would only pocket about $50 billion after legal claims. But the most important point, though, Carl, is I wanted to let you know, this is Iran's money.
Yes.
You keep acting like as if America is right, wrote a check and gave it to Iran. That is not the case. There were sanctions in place. This was Iran's money, my brother.
They had to pay interest.
It was Iran money. Yeah. All of us know that, you know.
Yeah.
All of us know that. But what may I say? Because of the sanctions, it was crippling the Iran economy.
Yeah.
And when we give Iran this money, we help alleviate. But check this out.
Check this out. You don't believe that there are innocent people in Iran? Just like there are innocent people in Palestine and in Israel and in the Virgin Islands and America? Why should the innocent people in this world continue to suffer because of corrupt leadership? I don't understand that part. Explain that part to me. Give me the logic.
Boy, you try to change the subject.
I'm not changing the subject because it applies here. I am not a fan of any dictatorship, any autocracy. I'm 100% democracy and capitalism. Now, I'm aware of the fact that wherever there's money flowing, then corruption is going to happen. I'm aware of that. Don't get me wrong. But all I'm saying is, while you may be factually correct, right, that the sanctions was crippling Iran, right? This was from back in the 70s. We're in 2024. Explain that part to me, man. 50 years.
Okay, give me a chance to respond now.
Go ahead.
Tell me, I say to you. Yeah. We have two things I want to say.
Yeah.
Yes, they have innocent people all over the world.
Yeah.
But when we deal with authority like Iran, who say America is the worst enemy and Israel is the worst enemy,
uh-huh.
Yes, the decisions the leader them and the Ayatollah them make will affect the citizenry. If them drop nuclear weapon and big bomb on our allies, it will affect innocent people.
I agree.
Innocent people in America die all the time.
I can't refute that. I agree with you. And by the way, I ain't hear that name in a long time, Doc School. Ayatollah. Remember, right? Khomeini, right? That was the name. Khomeini, right? Ayatollah Khomeini, right?
But Neville, a lot of the clerics are called Ayatollahs.
Yes.
That one was Ayatollah Khomeini.
Khomeini, correct. Yeah. No, but the way he said it, not the Ayatollah them. Yeah. Right? Because remember back then.
Hold on, man.
Take it easy, man. We don't have to be going after each other's throats, man. We could be human and civil. Take it easy, man. Another thing I want to say with that term Ayatollah. Remember, Doc School, a lot of calypsos had Ayatollah in them. The Calypsonian were refereeing Ayatollahs left and right. Left and right.
Oh, yeah, man. Ayatollah was there. The great Mike Spiro sang about the Ayatollah.
Correct. And
the whole stuff. But it's there. Listen.
He said he wanted to say his second part. So let you say the second part. Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead, my brother. Go ahead.
Another article online. May I read quick?
Mm-hmm.
As a result of Trump's reimposition of sanctions in 2018,
mm-hmm.
Iran economic growth fell by 13.6 percentage points from a positive annual growth of 9.5% during 2016 mm-hmm. and 17. You understand that? The sanction Donald Trump, the greatest president ever alive, put on Iran, has crippled them more.
Excuse me. You're contradicting. Nobody contradicting himself. The sanctions been in place from in the 70s, long before Donald Trump was a president, man. Oh gosh, man. Don't do that. Like they're saying Jamaica, dog school. Not do them.
Don't do them like that, man.
Not do them.
You can't throw them kind of facts.
Yeah, man.
The history of the sanctions that...
You're really sounding like Trump for Trono. Like life only existed from in January of 2017. Nothing existed before that.
Hold on.
Doc Skoll, respond to the caller, please.
Yes. Nothing happened before Trump came into office. So all Trump did was what? Continued the sanctions that were in place. That's all he did. He didn't, but he continued the sanctions that were in place. Yes, and the sanctions caused the crippling effect. But as we stated, Neville, the money belonged to Iran, and the money was doing what? Earning interest.
Yes, I guess, sir.
You missed the part where you stated in your article that the interest was accumulating, and if it continued, once the court ruled, I mean, sometimes, you know, in this world that we're in now, we don't worry the court anymore. What the court said doesn't make sense. The autocracy, the this and the that, right? The world court says, hey, listen, you got to pay the people and give the people back their money because interest is accruing. So to save interest, the decision was made. You know, that's what I'm saying. You don't pick out little snippets of the article. And you only pick it out to accentuate your point. But the fact remains is life began before Donald Trump became president. And Neville, last night I was watching something online and they were just dealing with some Trump people. And this one particular lady said, if Trump don't get elected, she wants to die.
Yeah. That one been circulating for about 4 or 5 months now. Yeah.
She wants to die. So I hope that my colleague over there, my brother over there in the Big Island of St. Croix, is not of that same mentality. That if Trump don't get elected, that you want to die, you don't want to live in America. Because, as he said, Trump is the greatest president ever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to some people he may be.
Mm-hmm.
That is in the opinion of others, but the greatest country on earth allowed him to be president, and now he wants to become an autocrat, and power knows no bound. I yield, Mr. President.
Carla?
Yes, man. Mm-hmm. Well, here what may I say is that if Donald Trump was president today, Iran will never disrespect and send all their missiles to Israel in such retaliation. You see, everybody in the world criticized Donald Trump when he went to North Korea and all them places. During Donald Trump's tenure, I may say it already, you know, no, Donald Trump want Kim Jong-un. Don't ever send a long-range, don't ever test long-range missiles that could hit America. He test missiles, you know, but he didn't do the long-range. And now we see Iran. And we see people, even from Ahmadinejad, his days, back in the days. Donald Trump now was here, stand tall and look at Iran and triple Iran economy. Iran economy was falling to the ground. The ruler them couldn't even feed them people anymore. Because of the wrong thing them continue to do and say Israel needs to be blown up off the face of the earth. All I see is this, you know, when you are just talk and you are look at all the democratic policies in the last decade, we're talking about, you realize that them have strengthened Iran because now Iran have fund many proxies throughout the Middle East And most of them proxies just want to destroy America and all its allies.
Now, let me respond to this statement that you make. You give in the impression that while Donald Trump was president, nothing of this nature never happened. You forget what happened in 2018? When a ballistic missile fired by Iranian forces hit an area where U.S. troops and Syrian Democratic forces were clearing remnants of Islamic State forces out of the Middle Euphrates River Valley. I'll be acting like as if when Donald Trump were president, everything were hunky-dory. The road was always pralines and cream and not rocky road. I mean, who I really think I'm talking to? Seriously. Seriously, who I think I'm talking to? I think the internet is for I alone and we can't do our own research. I mean, come on, man. Seriously. I know we're in political mode. It's 2024. We're approaching the spring. It's starting to get warm. And by the time we get to 4th of July, all hell gonna break loose. But don't forget, you know, there's something called offense. And then, Doc's call. What's the counter for that?
That's called defense. And if I have you on defense and you can't play offense, you got a problem.
You're in trouble. You need both, Carla. Okay? Yeah. So I know that you're claiming Donald Trump is the greatest president that ever lived and all that stuff. He tried that there in the United Nations back in 2018 too, you know, and everybody laughed after, you know. So be careful, Carla. Don't be making that practice. Don't make that a habit because you're going to get laughed out of tongue. Now, by the way, you went to Charleston, South Carolina. Where in South Carolina you went to campaign at that time? Where you went?
That time I was in Charleston.
You was in Charleston?
Yes, man.
You had a good time, man? Over there, nice. It's a nice city, and I've been there one time. It's nice.
Man, I've been there several times. Charleston is a nice place, man. Nice vibes, you know. You know one of the things that, you know, Charleston have a real, even in South Carolina, have a strong African cultural type vibes, you know.
Yes.
Really strong, you know.
A lot of the towns in Savannah and Charleston, right, they look like the way a lot of the tongues were constructed in the Caribbean. You know what I'm saying?
So, yes, man.
But look, thanks for calling, man, and good luck with the campaign. I know you're going to focus on New York City today because you got some runnings you got to take care of there in New York City. It's kind of stormy in New York City today. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's a storm in the courtroom today, and Donald Trump is going to have to play some defense today.
One more thing, Carla. Call Trump and tell him, right, to have some manners because that judge ain't Freddy at all.
Well, we don't have the red line to Donald Trump, but not call his son. But they will not tell you, no.
Yes, I love it, Eric.
Check this out. You're gonna call Ricky or you're gonna call Junie?
Which one?
You're gonna call Ricky or Junie? Which one?
Why, devil, you're not easy.
You, one thing me and Doc School got in common, we like to read. We like to debate and argue, and we learn from young, you can't debate and argue just on emotion. You got to have facts, my brother.
Thanks for calling, and
we'll be in contact soon, okay?
Thanks, Carla. Good conversation,
okay,
man.
Good, yeah. We'll take
support you, man.
Many complex issues that arise in our territory.
Comes with the Territory with Leslie Comision.
Join me, Leslie Comision, for a breakdown of political issues facing our territory, one conversation at a time. I'm here to be the voice you can rely on for information that is straightforward and comprehensive. Tune in to be a part of the discussion. It all comes with the Territory.
Comes with the Territory airs Sundays at 1 p.m. and re-airs at 7 p.m. on WTJX-TV, Channel 12.
Race is complicated. On Code Switch, we don't dumb it down for you.
And on Life Kit, we have advice on everything from money to mental health.
It's Code Switch and Life Kit from NPR.
Saturdays at 2 p.m. on WTJX FM.
I love this song!
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Ah, sometimes you need a moment to just step back, relax, and listen to your favorite song. I'm Raina Duris, and on the next World Cafe, maybe I can help you find something new to love, or maybe remind you of something you've been missing. There's so much music out there to enjoy, so take a moment, take a breath, and tune in to World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
The PBS NewsHour has a rich legacy of in-depth reporting and strong storytelling.
Only four people have sat in that chair before us, and the enormity of this moment is not lost on me. People turn to us because they know they can hear from trusted sources of information and news.
That won't change a bit, even as the faces behind the desk change.
Good evening. I'm Jeff Bennett.
And I'm Amna Nawaz.
Weekdays at 7 p.m. on WTJX TV, Channel 12.
And we're back here to analyze this. My good friend Donald Duskull and I running solo. This Marty right in shotgun. Hey, Doc, we're out in the wilderness, but we can hold our own, man. Everything good today. Thank you very much for spending some time with me this morning. Look like we lose Ducks. Ducks, call back in if you get a chance there. Let me see. Yeah, I think he's calling now. We should be good. Ducks, you're there, right?
Yeah, I just came back on. Yeah,
okay, good. Yeah, yeah. I was just thanking you for raiding solo with me this morning. Sometime it'll be like that. So we.
I don't listen to the radio while I talk to you.
No. We good, man. We good with that. So check this out. The media. You know, Trump has this media company, right? And it went public a couple of weeks ago. So we've been checking it. You know, it peaked at $79, right? The day that it went public, which I believe was Monday the 24th, March 24th, right? This morning, I'm looking at it right now, right? It down to $28.80, right? And you know what happened? They said Trump media shares plunge after company files to issue additional DJT stock. Now, you know what that means, right? When you want more shares, that means you're devaluing the existing shares, right?
Yep.
And they say shares of Trump Media plunged more than 11% on Monday after the company filed to issue millions of additional shares of stock. Now, we all know what he's trying to do. He's trying to raise money, right?
Yeah.
And they said Trump Media's dramatic slide came as Donald Trump headed into a Manhattan court to begin jury selection for his criminal trial on hush money related charges. Trump is the majority stakeholder in the company. Trump Media, which created the Trump social app and trades under the stock ticker DJT on NASDAQ, fell nearly 20% last week. And that's one of the reasons, you know, why, and he's not the only one, right? Greed, Doc School, right, is one of America's biggest problem, right? A lot of these people, man, they could never get enough, right? And we reference Peter Tosh earlier with Don Presserman, right? Now we gonna reference Get Up, Stand Up, right? You could fool some people sometime, but you can't fool all the people all the time, right? And that's why, to me, there are those who don't want certain people to be educated, Doc School, because education will unlock so many things for those who aren't as educated as they were prior to them being educated at a later date. And that's why we have an obligation on this show and other mediums to promote education. And I just wanted to say, I saw we in the Take 12 edition,
for this month. And we got the lovely Wells Hendrington on the cover. They got some photo shots of the Florence Williams Library. It's a beautiful thing, man. I just want all our libraries, Territory White Duck School, to be open and looking nice like that, accessible, and continue to educate the people of the Virgin Islands.
Absolutely agree with it. And I was the assistant director of Libraries, Archives, and Museum.
That's right.
I'm
That's
totally
right.
familiar with the Florence Lyon Library. The library in West need to get fixed up.
Yeah, the McFarlane. That's McFarlane Peterson, right? Yeah.
Albert McFarlane Library needs to get fixed up. The Turnbull Library over here.
Yeah, man.
I've been having problems, but it also need to get fixed up. But what we need to do, Neville, we have to have a magnet to bring people into the library.
Mm-hmm.
We are now gone totally. Technology has taken over. So you got to bring these young people into the library. When I was at the library, I wanted to bring a lot more technology, and I wanted to set up clubs where you know, these guys, young people play a lot of games on their phone, right? And set up gaming stations in the library, bring them in, and then, you know, they have to get a library card and they have to come in, and then you set up, you know, like how back in the day with the commission and youth, where we had inter-neighborhood basketball, inter-neighborhood sports, where you brought everybody together and you see what comes out of it to bring them in. So those things have to happen to bring them back into the library, because they're not just going to walk in there.
No, we're going to, matter of fact, we're going to do a location. We're going to do an on-location from the library. I'm looking forward to doing that, because I owe the library a lot, man. You know, when I had my days, when I had nothing to do, and my father's office happened to be on King Cross Street, and the Florence Williams Library is on the corner of King Cross and King Street. So yeah. I would walk down, and the library, man, was so valuable for me pre-internet days, back in the pre-1994, you know what I'm saying? And Listen. And the microfiche and the New York Times, all that stuff, man. Hey.
All that stuff.
Yo, man, yo, I love it. You know, I love it.
Neville,
so.
My love for classical African history began, honestly, in the eighth grade when I had a teacher named Sinclair Wilkerson.
Okay. I know that name, man.
He started talking about the Mali, Sangay, Kush, Ghana, Timbuktu.
Mm-hmm. Which actually spelled T-O-M, no? with a slash in the O, right?
Right, right. Yeah. So when he started talking, I said, what? I didn't know these things. When I left the class, I went straight to the, this was Duncan Crane School.
Yeah.
Back then we in Aspinall.
Yeah, Vietnam.
And he sent us into the library and asked us to look for these particular books. And I started reading. I'm like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
And Neville, you know, I dabbled in Calypso. I just wanted to make this point. When we were at UVI, you know, when I was at CVI then, we had a Black History Calypso competition, and I entered that competition. I mean, I'm one of the greatest lyricists they have, you know, Neville.
I don't write rap music too, no, so I like the lyrics. I like lyricists. Yeah, it's the poetry, man. It's the poetry.
It is poetry. So one of my first Calypso, and I'll just give you a few bars, and that came out of reading this book. They say, when teachers taught me history, they taught of white man's supremacy. They taught of men like Franklin, Washington, and Columbus. But it was so miraculous, the history I read about Frederick Douglass.
Yes!
He was like mystery, but was just untold history of our ancestors' legacy going back in slavery.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm for the best lyric, but I, you know, I couldn't even carry the tune, Neville. You know what I mean?
Well, that's a whole different discussion right there, sir. Right?
That's a different discussion.
But on behalf of my audience, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for what we don't call in rap music, the lines. I want to thank you for those lines. You know what I'm saying? Those lines. This song, you know, Miraculous, Frederick Douglass. Uh-huh. That's what I'm talking about.
And that's what the library did.
Yeah.
And reading and picking up these books and taking you to land that were never. Those books were always there, but they were never presented to us. But all these books were already written, and the library did that for me.
Well, and you know, I have a different take. Not a different take. It is true what they said, where they never taught us this, right? But I have always been one. I ain't really waiting for nobody to teach me nothing anyhow. Right? If I want to find out something, I'm gonna look for it myself. You check what I'm saying?
I agree, but we want push to do that.
Oh, thing. Without a doubt, without a doubt. That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying. You put it in a book.
Yeah. Remember now, right? Everything is Columbus, right?
Yeah.
And of course, you know the greatest lyricist of them all, right? So, he fool everybody with a whole heap of fantasy. I don't know why he did it. They said that he believed in plenty spirit. Columbus lie. You know, Shadow, you know, Shadow is one of the greatest.
The great Shadow. Right? But my singing style was like Shadow.
let me put it this way, right? We know that Sparrow is the greatest, right?
Yeah.
That's not really up for debate. But when we drill deeper, right? Some of us like the lyrics of the one mighty Shadow. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Baseman in my head.
Oh gosh. He said, "You might think that I hate Columbus. Let me tell you that you are right. To many he might be famous, but to me that man is a blight."
Right.
but to me, that's lyrics, right? And you know where that comes from? Knowledge. One of my listeners just called in and said, I want to read it. They said, that's what the audience, that's what everybody, they said, the library could be a place for people to learn how to use technology as well.
Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. Technology needs to be in there.
Correct.
Yeah.
People looking for places to learn how to operate their phone and iPads. Knowledge is knowledge. You check what I'm saying? And we have an obligation here on this particular medium to let the public know, look, we have resources. People complain about government money wasting and all that stuff. But guess what? It got a lot of government money that was spent and we ain't tapping into the resources and they're decaying, right? Because we ain't doing what we got to do, right? So every time you get a chance, right, just park up in downtown Christian State, downtown Chatham Alley. But first of all, the Turnbull Library is out in the country, right? Out there by...
The bar library is closed, so you got to go to the country for that, or you go to UVI.
Okay, and the bar library is where?
Right down by the Rachel Francis Square.
Right there by the Market Square. That's the Enid Bar Library, right?
Yes, but that's closed.
That's closed, and the Charles Wesley Turnbull is out by Tutu Mall, out there, right?
Out in Tutu Park Mall on the hill.
Tutu Park Mall, and the one in St. John open, you know? The one in St. John functioning.
Sproul Library in St. John is opening.
So that's good. So we can do what we got to do. And, you know, I'm a big supporter of Commissioner Oreo. Very respectful, knowledgeable Virgin Islander. And, you know, we going to push, you know, whatever resources that are supposed to be expended on the people. You know, we have an obligation to make sure we support everything. Because the last thing we want, right, Docs, is for monies that were slated for the Virgin Islands to double back to D.C., period.
We don't want that, man. That's my prayer to the Creator every time, is that we find some way to make sure that we spend this money and make this money useful for us here in the territory and to advance literacy in everything that we talk about. We have to advance literacy, man.
And you know something? You brought up a point, and with respect to them not teaching us and all that stuff. And, you know, education, it just opens up so many avenues. Right, and I always think whenever I think of education and healthcare in the Caribbean, my mind runs on Fidel Castro. Right, uh-huh. I remember when we were young. Now he was painted as the worst human being. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Communists and all that stuff, what have you? And then you come to find out, you could say what you want about Fidel. One thing we know, he wanted the people them to be healthy and educated. Right.
Absolutely.
The problem we got with that. Right, is that after they reach a certain level, then he capped their ability to make money, and we can't support that under any circumstance, Ducks. Right? I can't tell Cuba how to run Cuba, but all I'm saying is, wherever anybody is, whenever they reach a certain education level, a revenue capacity ability, I want them to make as much as they can, right? And if your country's inability of, well, you can only make so much, then I want them to do you. You check out.
That's a problem.
Yeah, it's a problem. I just
want to end this wonderful conversation with the song from the great Gilchrist Sproul.
Oh yeah. Pardon.
I could learn if you teach me.
Yes.
I could learn if you teach me. That is so powerful. I mean, the lyrics to that song Neville is so powerful. You can learn if you teach me, and that is what we are accentuating here. Is we got to teach, and they're able to learn, and we got to provide the resources for them to do it. And Miss, the Education Commissioner, I'm sure she's doing her best to get these resources to the children, so we can get them. But Neville, don't forget, home is where this whole thing begins. Okay.
Check this out, man. One of my people, them just say, those bars gave goosebumps. So if you can, let me get a Frederick Douglass from Miraculous rhyme there again, please, if you can. Hit me with it again, man.
When teachers taught me history, they taught of white man supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
They taught of men like Franklin, Washington, and Columbus. But it was so miraculous, the history I read about Frederick Douglass. These things were like mystery, but guess what? It was just untold history of our ancestors' legacy.
Wow.
And it goes back to slavery, and the chorus went on. They asked me to sing Calypso. This is sing a song with tempo. But I'm going to kill them with lyrics.
Let me ask you this question. Had you ever met Chagos?
Yeah, man, I met Chagos. I was in UVI, and Chagos used to lecture at UVI. I've been to a couple of his classes down there. Mr. Chagos is one of the greatest Calypsonians, and you know, he's Dr.
Hollis Liverpool.
Hollis Liverpool.
Yeah, man, yeah. That name got regal, got royalty island, isn't it?
Yeah, man. Yeah, Hollis Liverpool.
Liverpool.
When it comes to Calypso, man, it's...
But check this out, right? Check this out, right? His name, right, is one of the great parts. His first name is one of the great sections of Queens. Hollis Queens, right?
Yeah.
That's where Run DMC come from, right? And of course, everybody knows Liverpool, right? One of the great soccer teams and the great tongues in England. So I'm telling you, his name is... England. Is he still alive?
He's still alive. He's in
Trinidad now?
Trinidad, yeah. As a matter of fact, I think the Carnival Committee was trying to get him down here.
But look, I know that he and Malik Siku good. So if I ever find out that the great Chalk Dust has worked his way back to the territory, please let me know so we could get here and we could rap about his history and all that stuff here in the
Well, the great Marshall Mantano is a disciple of Hollis Liverpool because he's working on his PhD.
They say, I'm too young to a party.
Ay.
You're making joke. Hey, Docs, great conversation today. Thank you very much. I got the text messages to prove it. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you, my brother. It was an awesome conversation, and I'm happy when our friend called in.
Look, he is entitled to support whomever he wants. We want the public to know that. That's the beauty of politics, and a little bit of entertainment can't hurt. Thank you very much, Docs Cole.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much, Docs Cole. And thanks to the audience. Thank you, Manuel Dung. The weather service down in San Juan. Put out a note, right? So be good, be safe. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye bye.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
So I spent the past year trying to figure out what news designed for 21st century humans might look like. One of the things that really stuck with me was that we now know that humans actually need hope to get up in the morning. And I don't think as a journalist I ever thought about it that way.
We're always looking for new and better ways to understand the world we live in. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
As the news gets more complex and changes through the day, you need more than just a quick headline check. Here and Now keeps you connected to your world between Morning Edition and All Things Considered, as the news and the people shaping it are changing in real time. I'm Robin Young. Follow along on Here and Now, NPR News weekday afternoons.
From 2 to 4 on WTJX FM, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.